isn't it, mate? In 2018, it's just wonderful to worship God. And just thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much, Andy. Thank you so much, Pete and Fiona. It's just, and Hamid. It's just a privilege to give God the glory and raise our voices and worship him. It is good. It is good. So, did you all have a happy new year and a nice time?
Yeah.
You don't sound like it. You're all just too cold. So I'm going to pray and then we're going to read Acts chapter 17. Now some of you apparently have been reading it, been very good, and reading it in your growth groups and all sorts. Is that true? Oh, look, some of them not in. Jeanette's looking worried. So Lord Jesus, may your presence, may your spirit be here. Lord, keep me true, keep me right, and keep me, fill me with your spirit as I bring your word. Amen. Okay, so we've been going through Acts last year, and we've got up to Acts chapter 17, and we're going to read it. So if you've got your Bibles or your iPads, you can follow along. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And what's happened is Paul has just come from Philadelphia, and he's been in jail, and he's got released from jail, and God has done incredible things there in Philippi, incredible things. So chapter 17. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul went in, as was his custom. And on three Sabbath days, he reasons with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus, who I am proclaimed to you, is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women. But the Jews were jealous. And taking some wicked men of the rabble, they formed a mob, set the city up in uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring them out to the crowd. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city's authorities, shouting, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. And Jason has received them, and they are all acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus." And the people and the city's authorities were disturbed when they heard these things. And when they'd taken money as security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. Then the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived there, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble or open-minded than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was being proclaimed by Paul at Berea, also they came there too, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Then the brothers immediately sent Paul off on his way to the sea, but Silas and Timothy remained there. Those who conducted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and after receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they departed. Lord Jesus, just press this scripture. Action-packed scripture. I want to play a bit of a quiz with you. Okay, next slide, Isaac. Who can tell me who that is? Go on. Napoleon. Now, Reuben were asking me about this yesterday. I want to ask you, is it true that Napoleon was a very short man?
No.
Yes. Andy says no. Who says yes? Who says no? Napoleon Bonaparte. Was he very short? Yes. Well, the answer is, actually, he wasn't. He was slightly above average height in France at that time. It was just the British that made up the fact that he was small to make him look silly. Yeah, so no, he's not. It was an average size. Next slide. How many wise men were there? Oh, you're all very, very clever. So who thinks three? Jean thinks three. Jeanette thinks three.
I've been told no one knows.
No one. Adam, you're absolutely right. It doesn't actually say anything about how many wise men there are. There were three gifts, but it doesn't say how many wise men there were. Next slide. Can you see the, what's the word, the Great Wall of China from space? Yes. Apparently you can. Yes. Who thinks you can? Who thinks you can't? Well, apparently you can't. It's a myth. It's an urban myth. It's not true. You can't see it from space. Yeah. Next slide. Did Jonah get eaten by a whale? Yes. Who thinks yes? Adam thinks yes. Who thinks no? Well, the answer is he got eaten by a big fish. He wasn't, it never says it was a whale. It was a big fish. Next slide. Goldfish. Now, who believes that goldfish, this is, relates to me this, has a memory of 2 seconds? Yeah. Was it 2 minutes? Who thinks that's true? Fish don't have a memory at all. Who thinks fish, goldfish have a memory of, is it 2 minutes? What do you think? Yes? You think they do? Well, you're wrong. Apparently, goldfish have a memory of 3 months. They can remember for 3 months. How bad is that going round and round for 3 months? Yeah, that's terrible, isn't it? So, 3 months. Yeah, so, but the question is, we're told lots of things, but how do we know whether it's true or not? How do we know what the truth is? Move next slide, Isaac. What about this? Who's in this guy? Fake news. Fake news. If you look on your Facebook or on the... How do we know what is true? Who is telling us the truth? What is telling us the truth? What can we believe? Can we believe this guy? Is he telling the truth? We'll leave that to... But who is telling it? Is the BBC telling the truth? Who's telling the truth? Well, this morning, I want to look at a tale of two cities, yeah, and different ways that they reacted to the truth. Let's take Mr. Trump down. There we go. We'll put a map up. Is that all right? So, as we said before, Paul had been in Philippi, and then he'd walked in the story of Acts 100 miles, and he got to, along the Ignatius Way it was called, and got to the city of Thessalonica. That was the capital of Macedonia. He had a call in a dream to Macedonia, and this was a free Roman city. It was flourishing, it was very, very proud of his status. Can you see up the top there, Thessalonica? Yeah, and it's between Amphipolis and Apollonia and Philippi. And what they did when they got there, Paul and Silas, he went to the synagogue first, and for 3 Sabbaths he preached the gospel, and he probably stayed there for several months, yeah, preaching. So apparently, though, when they preached the gospel in the synagogue, there was a divided response to it. He was preaching truth, and there was a divided response. A few were persuaded by the good news. There were some Jews, some Greeks, some God-fearing Greeks, and some well-known women, it says. And he probably left a little house church in Thessalonica. But there were some jealous guys who went around and they rounded up some thugs and they formed a mob and they started a riot. Paul and Acts is never boring. Can you imagine if we started a riot? What the Telegraph would say. They started a riot and they looked for Paul and they looked for Silas, who were preaching good news, and they went to a guy who they knew called Jason, who was friends with them, and they couldn't find him, so they grabbed him and they hauled him to the officials, the city officials, and the Jewish mob accused the Christians of turning the world upside down. How much would you like to turn the world upside down for Jesus. I'd love to get accused of that. That'd be brilliant. Blackburn would be enough. The world, yeah, absolutely. They're accused of turning the world upside down. And they're saying that there is another authority. Jesus is the authority. Not Caesar, not the city authorities, but Jesus. Anyway, Jason gets put out on bail. He pays some money, it all gets sorted out. But Paul and Silas are smuggled out of Thessalonica at night, and then they quickly run away for 55 miles to a place called Berea. And this is what happens again at Berea. This little kind of, it's a bit, so if Thessalonica was maybe Manchester, Berea might be Darwin, I imagine. It was a smaller place. People from Darwin are more noble-minded. But it says, verse 11, now these Jews, these people were more open-minded, more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. And therefore many of them believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. The Bereans were more noble, more open-minded to the gospel. They were open-minded, but they did another thing. What did they do? They checked the scriptures to check what is true. So they were open-minded, noble-minded, but they checked the scripture to see if it was true. Where do you get your truth from? Where are you getting your truth? Do you get it from the BBC? Do you get it from Donald Trump? Do you get it? do you get it from Jeremy Corbyn, maybe? Where do you get your truth from, is my question. Well, there's John 3:16, but a real favourite of mine as well is 2 Timothy 3:16, which says the scripture that you have, the Bible, it says all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realise what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and it teaches us to do what is right. And God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Where do you get your truth from? Get it from scripture. Get your truth from the Bible. And what kind of truth? Well, scripture teaches us what is true in a world full of Facebook and all sorts of different people saying different things, newspapers. How do you know what is true? Scripture. Go back to God's word. It teaches us what is the truth. And the truth is Jesus. That is your truth. Yeah, not part of the truth. The whole truth is Jesus. It shows us what is wrong in our lives. If you have a problem in your life, do you buy a self-help book? Or do you go to a blog? Or do you look to scripture? God's word. It shows you what is wrong in your life, the sin in your life. Not only does it show you what is wrong, but God is gracious. It shows you how to correct what is wrong in your life. What is correct? That is God's grace, isn't it? It gives us self-help, what is wrong, but how to correct. And not only that, it teaches us how to continually live a right life. It gives us some incredible keys to scripture. And the Bible isn't supposed to be kept on the page. It's there to equip God's people for every good work. So don't just read the Bible and like eat it or whatever. It's there to equip us for things to do, for the good works God has. And it's inspired by God. We've talked a lot about in Acts the Holy Spirit. Yeah? But God breathes the words into Scripture. It's His Spirit in Scripture. Are you not excited by that? Yeah. That is incredible. That's the most incredible book in the world. Isn't it? If you had a book that did that. But why do we take it as that? Why do we take it as authority? Why do we take it as right? Well, the answer is because Jesus sat under the authority of Scripture. Jesus sat under the authority. So when Satan tempted him in the desert, what did Jesus do? He used the Scripture. So Jesus sat under that authority. Do you know what? Jesus Bible bashed Satan. That's what he did. It is written. It is written. It is written. Jesus sat under the authority of Scripture. If you read the New Testament. So do you think we should? We are followers of Jesus. So should we?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It is food. It is bread. Everything I am saying this morning, I want you to check it with Scripture. Yeah, don't take my word for anything. Go check it out in Scripture. Not while I'm speaking, yeah, but when you go home, check it out in Scripture. If Andy Parr says anything he preaches, or Angela, or any, check it out in Scripture. Does it sit with God's word? How are you doing reading your Bible? You're looking very scared and very blank. Yeah? I'm going to throw Hebrews 5, 12, 13. You have been Christians a long time now, and you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need teaching the basic things of a beginner. You must learn about Scripture. You are like babies who drink only milk and cannot eat solid food. And a person who is living on milk isn't very far along in the Christian life and doesn't know much about what you're doing is right. My job is not to completely teach you. Yeah, you cannot just come on a Sunday morning and find out more about God. You need to do it yourself. You need to take some responsibility for it. What is the difference between a baby who drinks milk and an adult? A baby is dependent, eats milk. An adult feeds themselves. Yeah? Read Scripture yourself. It's God's word. It's brilliant. Yeah? Read it in the morning. Read different bits. Read it when you've got time. Read it. There's so many different ways of reading Scripture to feed yourself. Next slide, Isaac. Next slide again. Who's got that on their phones? Brilliant. If you haven't got, who's got an iPhone or an Android phone? Yeah. Get that app. It's completely free and it is brilliant. It is every version of the Bible you can think of and a help to read in Scripture in the morning. Go on, next slide. I use this. This is the Alpha stuff. And every morning, it gives you another piece of Scripture or whatever. Use it. The stuff there, use it. Yeah? Next one. Walk through the Bible. I've used this. Who's got one of these? Christian loves these. Splits of Scripture. Yeah? Is it good? Brilliant. Really, really, really good. Or just, next slide, just read it. just this year, just read it and watch what God does in your life. My challenge is, just read it. Don't care when you read it, how you read it, just read it, because it's awesome. It's God's grace to you. It's God's grace to you. And that's what the Bereans did. They listened to things, they were open-minded, but they read God's word. God's word. Don't care what version you use, whether you like Old English, whether you like New English, just read it in whatever you find the best to read it in. It's God's word, it's the bread. Yeah? It's the good, it's good stuff. Sometimes the Bible is a difficult or weird book. Have you ever read bits that you thought, what is that going on about? Yeah, it's God's word, it is all important. But sometimes you need help. Yeah? Sometimes you need help with either through preaching or teaching or whatever. Yeah, but you need to watch what these people are teaching you by going back to scripture. But I would be asking the questions. If you're listening to preachers, who listens to different preachers? Yeah? God, there's some great preachers. I want to encourage you, listen to preachers. But be careful. Look at these people's character. Yeah? Are they filled with love, joy, peace? Yeah? Is their teaching consistent with their lives? Don't just go to YouTube and find any old teachers, because there's some garbage on YouTube. Yeah? Are the teaching full of love? Or is it divisive? Are they jumping around scripture and proving all sorts of weird and wonderful things that isn't in scripture? Are they inferring a lot of stuff that isn't there? Yeah? Be careful. But I want to encourage you. Feed yourself with preachers teaching about God's word. Watch what you listen to. Yeah? Watch what you listen to. There were two people. There were the Bereans, who were open-minded, noble-minded, but checked everything via scripture. And then there were the other guys from Thessalonica. What was their reaction? They rejected everything. And sometimes with scripture, have you ever sat through a sermon and your main thought has been, how can I prove this person wrong? Or is he preaching the right truth? Or is he preaching this or that? And you almost got a critical spirit to preaching and teaching. Don't have a Pharisaical spirit when listening to God's word. Yeah, but check everything. Check everything against scripture. And we mainly need God's spirit as well to guide us. I'm going to finish, but I want to read another part of scripture, and this is Deuteronomy 6. Yeah, so this was given to the Jewish people. These were God's people in the Bible. Yeah, and this is what he says. So imagine, replace Israel with Community Church Blackburn. And this is what he says about God's word, his word. He says, listen, O Israel, listen, O Community Church Blackburn. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. That was God's word. He says, repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about scripture and God's word to your children. Talk about them when you're at home. And when you're on the road, talk to them about God's word. Meditate on God's word as you drive, as you talk. When you go into bed, and when you're getting up, I switch my phone on, and I check my phone very often the first time when I get up, and I check Facebook and I do all these things. Actually, what I need to do this year, I'm going to stop. and I'm going to pick up my Bible instead when I wake up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Don't tie them to your head, but we've got fridge magnets, glitter scripture, God's word all over your house. Write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. He's basically saying, keep God's word in mind everywhere, whatever you're doing, with as many people as you see in your family. And that's my challenge. I don't want to make anybody feel guilty. I'm not going to Bible bash you. But actually, God is a good, 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 good God. And he has given us bread to eat. And this is a good, 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 good book. And I want you to read it and know it as much as you can over this next year. Because it's good. It is so good. Yeah, and to grow in it this year. I'm going to ask you to make a commitment. And you don't have to if you don't want, but this year I would love as a commitment to grow closer and grow up as a church in God's word. We need God's Holy Spirit to do that, which we talked about a lot, but actually in scripture. And I want you to see, if you want to make a commitment to read, eat more of this bread of God's word that is the truth, that shows what's wrong in your life, that tells you how to fix what's right wrong in your life, to show you how to live right, and that is breathed with God's Spirit, this God who is the creator of the universe, almighty, all powerful, all authoritative, and he's given us his word, his thoughts. Do you not want to read it some more? So I'm going to pray. If you want to commit to yourself or to God to have a journey in Scripture in whatever way you can, I'd like to ask you to stand. Yeah. So if you want to have a journey, yeah. If you want to commit yourself to reading more of God's Word this year, please stand and then I'll pray. Father God, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are not a distant God, you are present, and if you are with us, who is against us, Lord? And we ask for a filling of your Spirit to give us a hunger and a desire for your word, Lord Jesus, for scripture, Lord, that is the truth, Lord. Lord, we ask for your Spirit for us to, when we're searching for truth in a chaotic, untruthful world, that we look to your word, which is truth. Lord Jesus, Lord, fill us with your Spirit and help us hunger for more of your word, whether it's in the morning, whether it's in the evening, whether it's in the afternoon, in whatever, whether we listen to it, whether we read it, whether we study it, whether we listen to preachers, whatever we do, Lord, may we grow up into adults in your word, Lord Jesus. Lord, and we really commit. I commit. I'm sorry if I've not treated it in the way that I should, Lord. Lord, but we ask for more of your Holy Spirit to give us insight, just to, Lord, may Scripture blow our mind this year. May we find things that we've never seen, showing your mercies and your grace. For your glory and for your honour.